Well, it's about time. It's the news, according to me. Oh, I know you've been waiting. You've been waiting, sitting there by your record player, as Joe Biden would say. You're sitting there waiting for that voice that comes over the speakers late at night or early in the morning or whenever, just random times, and tells you about what his opinion is of the news. I know you're all sitting around waiting for that. So it's important that I show up this morning for work, finally. Work. Call this work. Yeah, that's not really a thing. And so yes, I'm back from the other lands. I have spent the last 2 weeks, I guess a little more than that, in the Caribbean. The Caribbean. Is it the Caribbean or the Caribbean? How do you pronounce that? Caribbean. The Carib. I don't know. It's down. I've been down there in those islands. British Virgin Islands is where I spent most of my time. I was in San Juan, Puerto Rico for a few hours in between there. And I have to say, it's nothing like, you know, nothing like coming home. It's nice to be away once you, you know, get out there and you're among friends and you can kind of enjoy the weather for one thing. It was, you know, 80 degrees about every day, upper 70s, lower 80s, on a sailboat floating around. And, you know, snorkeling, all those kinds of things. Enjoying the Caribbean or the Caribbean cuisine, or is it cuisine? I don't know what. It was a lot of fun. It was, only thing that wasn't too fun, but it was actually good for me. Of course, I had some shows a little bit while I was gone, while I was down there. I was in quarantine. The last time you heard from me, I was in quarantine in paradise. And I had, what was it? Three shows, I think, while I was down there. It was kind of hard because the walls in the hotel I was in were pretty paper thin. And for the most part, the people I ran into down there were, I would say, you know, more conservative minded. Kind of people who didn't really trust government with all, if they're totally, you know, totally with their lives, which I can get along with those kinds of people. So that was, I think most of them kind of agreed with, but I think the guests of the hotels probably were a little more left-leaning from what I gathered. But the time overall was very good. It was very refreshing. However, getting back yesterday was very grueling. Just, you know, I show up at an airport and I just kind of go through security and everything's normal. When I was trying to get out of the country in Tortola from the airport, I would say I don't know what's called TSA there or not. It's like our TSA here. Their security there is a little overly zealous. I don't think they have a whole lot else to do in their lives and they just decide to just rip apart everything you have. I had my bag packed, specifically my carry-on. It was very full, and I knew it was going to be hard to get it in an overhead so full, but I knew I could do it because I did it on the way down here. Well, I had it packed very carefully, so it was just flat enough to fit in the overhead bin. And, of course, going from Tortola to San Juan wasn't a problem because it's a little airplane. Believe it or not, little airplanes, you see your bags, you carry them out to the plane and then you put them on and then you get to the big airport and they just hand them back to you. Not a big deal. Plenty of room. However, on a big airplane, there are 300,000 people trying to get on this thing and stuffing all their stuff in there with all their shopping bags and everything else they've got. I actually went down early. I got priority seating. So I got on there. Boarding. I got priority boarding, I guess I should say. If you talk nice to the gate agent, a lot of times they'll let you go down early. And I had a lot of stuff. So I was like, can I, you know, just go on and get this stuff in there? That way it's done. Well, sure. So right after all the, I think there were 17 wheelchairs. And right after that, I got to go on. Put my stuff away. Anyway, so long story short, it's just a long story. That's already long, I guess. There's no short about it. It's just already long. You know, I'm telling all this stuff, and I know what you're really anxious to know is what's in my cup. I have tea, Lipton tea, with, what is that in there? I changed my normal routine, and I put sugar in it today. Rather than just putting sugar, I put sugar in it, sugar. I don't know, sugar. I can put a lot of sugar in there. And I have also honey and a little bit of coconut oil, of course. So much going on in the news. Where do I even begin with all the stuff that's been going on while I've been on the boat? I've tried to go back over my little news feed stuff. I actually spent 7 days not looking at any real news at all, other than just what came through my email headlines. I didn't even open the emails. I just saw like the headlines of the emails, just kind of see what was going on. And that was enough to infuriate me. I basically had to cut back from that a little bit too, because I was just trying to disengage completely from what was going on here. So I have no idea what's been going on. The big news that I received while I was, the day before, I think I was getting ready to travel back to the U.S. of A, I had interesting, my phone started exploding, of course, and it was all about the mask mandate thing. And I had a lot of pilot friends who were ecstatic, sending me all kinds of pictures, and they were getting notified in the air that the mandate had been dropped. They were making announcements. Of course, they were having a lot of fun with that. And it was, and there are still people pushing back against it. Well, cases are going up, and oh, you know, we got to get, this is still dangerous, and we have to have people masked. There is absolutely zero science behind this. Zero. I'm telling you, they cannot state a study that proves that the masks are effective at all in terms of the general population, especially cloth masks. They were telling us that at the beginning. They were saying it has to be a 3-ply surgical mask with whatever, you know, N95, KN, KA94, whatever the bolt. These masks are developing strains of their own. Has to be one of those kinds of masks and has to be properly fit very carefully by a professional. Of course, if you sneeze into it, then that's, you know, it's done. And you're only supposed to wear it so many, you know, so much time. You have to change it out. But, you know, that's not what the public wears. The public wears all kinds of weird, crazy mask stuff. Cloth masks. And they'll tell you those are. And it's even the only studies that have been done. The reason you won't find studies on it is because the studies that have come out is that they show that cloth masks are worse than not having a mask at all in terms of particulate spread. And I'm talking mostly about vaporized particulate. And it's worse for you. Cloth masks are less healthy for you to be wearing. Because that's what everybody's wearing. That's what they're wearing. And it has just been ridiculous. And yet they continue to tell us, or make us, I guess they just think, that they want people to have a false sense. This started with a false sense of security. We're gonna shut down the virus. We're going to make sure everybody's wearing a mask, and that will keep everybody from, this will keep, stop spread. Well, we had the worst spread. Well, think about how bad it would have been if we wouldn't have the mask. And I even heard this from somebody I respect a lot. And there's always this straw man argument. Well, think of how bad it would have been if we didn't have the vaccine. Okay. It could have been worse without the vaccine. We don't know. We really don't know. Now, would something else have happened without the vaccine? Would we have had an Omicron or Omicron, not Omicron? There's no N. There's only one N in Omicron. O-M-I-N. Or O-M-O. I'm sorry. I can't even spell it myself. Omicron. C-R-O-N. O-M-I-C-R-O-N. Omicron. Omicron. Omicron, Uricron. Rolicron. Who knows? That strain may have come along sooner. That's what happened in Africa. They were largely unvaccinated. And the strain happened, and it, ironically enough, was in the rodent population there. And that's where the mutation happened. That's where Omicron started, and that's, as far as we know, and that's how it has spread. Spread wild like wildfire. Now, there's been the BA1 and the BA2, and they're still saying, well, Delta and, you know, and Omicron now with all the hospitalizations and deaths from those two. Well, no. That's, the Omicron variant is even less dangerous than the original Omicron. It's much less dangerous than the Delta. The Delta was, probably the worst in terms of being deadly. But if you had the original one, it seems that there was quite a bit of immunity to Delta. And then if you had Omicron, there's also immunity to Delta because Delta just basically faded out to nothing. Because Omicron was much more contagious and just outpaced it. So all of this stuff, you know, continues to be rules that matter and rules that don't. Just like Title 42, this is a good example. Title 42, this is a deal where it was determined that because of COVID, that these illegal immigrants, these refugees, as they call them, who are pouring in across the border, they were turned back and turned away and sent back to Mexico because of COVID. However, they want to drop that. They want to drop Title 42 because, you know, COVID's not a big deal anymore. But they want you to wear a mask on an airplane because, you know, COVID's a big deal now. Cases are going up. But now they're just talking about cases. They're not talking about hospitalizations. And they're not talking about anything that has anything to do with science in terms of have masks at all changed any kind of trajectory of this thing. The mask mandate was put into effect under Biden's administration. And he had more people die in the same amount of time in his term and more people. Did I say more people or the same? He had more people die in the first 9 months of his presidency than the 9 months of President Trump with being under, you know, whatever you want to call it, under the virus. We were told he was going to shut down the virus, and in 1 year, we had more people died, outsurpassed anything that happened during the Trump administration. But, you know, it's we can't have those numbers out there. Ukraine. Yeah, we have to talk about Ukraine. Ukraine. Let's talk about that. And that's something worth talking about. There's been some interesting commentary I've been listening to. Of course, now on the way back, I went through San Juan, Puerto Rico, and San Juan is basically a U.S. territory, so you're basically in the United States when you're there. It's really bizarre. It's like being in the U.S., but you're not. And once you're inside security there, you're basically in the United States there. It's weird. That's just weird. There's got to be stuff going on there, funneling stuff into the country via territories like that. It allows for certain rules and regulations to be changed and yet still be acceptable. So we have all this stuff going on. We got Hunter Biden, which continues to just be, I think that they think that they, and this is, I know that they plan this stuff, they time this stuff. And there's everybody was asking, well, why are they bringing it up now? Why are they talking about Hunter Biden's laptop now and they're admitting that it was true? This is all part of their plan. Folks, I guarantee you, they have people in war rooms, political war rooms, that sit around all day long planning and plotting this stuff out. They exposed that before the 2020 election. Jeffrey Toobin got caught naked on the channel that he was doing this little scenario simulation, election night simulation thing. And that it's almost ironic. It's sometimes these things are harbingers, and they're like messages in and of themselves. When something strange happens, it's almost as if it's a message to us of something else. That there's a deeper meaning sometimes behind these things. The symbology, everything about it. And I have this belief to some degree. I don't always pin a lot of life-altering decisions on it. However, sometimes I think God is trying to speak to us in ways that are blatantly obvious, and yet not so much obvious. Which, if you look at how Jesus taught, the Messiah taught in ways that were kind of, you know, he said, you know, these are to people who can't understand, the blind can't understand these things, only you who are, those who are spiritual kind of thing. He was basically saying that, you know, if your eyes have been opened, you can understand what I'm saying here, but if you're not, then this makes no sense to you, basically. And that's why he would teach in parables. He would teach in these stories that were easy to remember. And they weren't just, you know, he didn't just write a book and make, you know, it wasn't just Greek thinking. It was this relational thing. You know, man goes before a king and he owes him a lot of money. And it's just all those kinds of things. And this is almost the way this kind of message comes across sometimes to me. It's like it's there right in plain sight if you have the eyes to see it. And I think that that's... I think it's important that we keep our eyes open during this stuff, and we kind of see past the rhetoric and the narrative, the storyline that the news is trying to push. I don't care if it's Fox or anybody else. They still have their same rhetoric on Fox. You know, it's kind of a one-sided thing. Speaking of ones, Tucker Carlson, he typically has guests on as much as he can who are kind of have opposing views sometimes. And Tulsi Gabbard is one of those individuals. I think he's trying to stretch some common ground to an individual who is not a leftist. She's a Democrat. She's not a leftist. She wouldn't be in the same tumbler as the squad. Trevor Loudon did a really good show on YouTube here a couple days ago. He was talking about the infiltration of the government and in terms of the deep state and how the communist agenda works with people of influence, and they get into things like, and he was saying that the deep state, or the FBI and the CIA, all the other intelligence organizations, they've been compromised, they've been infiltrated. And I would go further than that. It's the communist regime, and you can see this in Merrick Garland very clearly. They don't just infiltrate it and control it. They weaponize it. They use it against the people, the very people that they are supposedly going to protect. And I put protection in word protect is in air quotes there. They will come up with a thing to scare you so that we're here to protect you. Oh, look at this. This is what's happening, and we're here to protect you. It's extortion almost in some ways. They scare the people into believing, oh, we stopped 5 terrorist attacks today. Thanks to us. You can thank us. We're the heroes. They were all government agents that were going to do this, but that keeps our storyline going. It keeps us in business. It's job security. They've been doing that for years. They've been infiltrating organizations like that and doing things like that for years. Years. More than, tens of years, 20s of years, whatever. It's been going on for a long time. I still have this uneasy feeling. Call it paranoia if you want to. It may just be me being paranoid. They are not able to right this ship right now. Joe Biden's now saying he's going to run for governor. Probably saying he's going to run for governor. I'm Joe Biden. I'm running for the Senate. Like you wrote. I think that the powers that be are very concerned about how they're going to play this out with Joe and Hunter. Now, I was getting back to this whole thing with Hunter. They know that the population has, their memory hole is about 2 weeks long. And it's, we're on to the next thing. They know if they let this Biden thing hang out there long enough and nobody really reports on it or says much more about it, it's just going to go away. Of course, the White House is spinning it as, well, Hunter Biden doesn't work for the government. You've talked to the DOJ and you've talked to Hunter's representatives because he doesn't work for the government. Now, this wasn't exactly the response from the leftists and the media. They didn't accept that kind of an answer when it came to Trump's kids. And they couldn't find anything on Trump's kids, but they knew that he was doing something wrong. He had to have done something wrong. We have to get his tax returns. Well, now we come to find out we have... Joe Biden owes $175,000 in taxes. Are they going to jump all over that? Are they going to demand to have his tax returns and have him pay that and see how he's compromised? The big guy, going to find out any more about that? They've lied and lied and lied. And it's just, and again, it gets back to this whole double standard thing. They have standards that only match what they need to do to get the job done at the moment. They can change those standards on a dime, and they don't apply to them at all. Those standards have nothing to do with them. And it's just getting very wearisome. This poor lady who, and I honestly, I really do feel sorry for her. She's now a Supreme Court, she's going to be a Supreme Court judge. And unfortunately, sadly, the only thing hanging over her head was she had to be a black woman. And unfortunately, it was, I was going to do a segment at the show called Good White People. That's what the leftists want you to believe. They're for you. They're the good white people. They're the ones who are, putting on their little scarf and they're bowing their knee and doing the whole taking a knee for George Floyd and doing all this propaganda crap to show their solidarity and their unity. For you, just keep us in power. Keep the white person in power and we'll keep working for you. We're fighting the man. They are the man, folks. They are masters at this stuff, and it's just they just continue to do it. And I believe they're self-deceived. I had quite a bit of time. I had 5 days, 6 days to sit in a hotel by myself, and you have time to reflect and some time to kind of think about life in general. And play video games, of course. But that you have all this time that you have to ponder, to reflect on life, and to wonder, you know, what you're going to have for supper. All those things, you know, kind of come up. And your supper doesn't come up, if you know, as long as you are careful. But it's this one thing that it's you notice, and kind of having the life, I guess, that I've lived, and having the years of experience that I've got, dealing with people and dealing with myself and understanding those things, I'm putting together I don't know if it's going to be a book or if it's going to just be a talk that maybe lasts for an hour about self. Now, I'm not Peterson. I'm not Mr. You know, what's his name? What is his name? Peterson. What's the guy's name? I want to say John Peterson. It's not John Peterson. Peterson. Jordan Peterson. I knew it began with a J. I just couldn't. Jordan Peterson. There it is. I had to type it into a search window and then it came up. Jordan Peterson. I'm no Jordan Peterson, obviously. He knows who he is and he would be able to tell you his name. So if that's why I couldn't tell you his name, because I'm not him. That's primarily. Plus, I'm not nearly as brilliant as he is. He's, you know, he's so deep sometimes in explaining something that I usually fall asleep about halfway into what he's talking about. Unfortunately, I can't. It just goes too deep sometimes. And if I'm tired, that's good, Jordan. Thank you. I'll fade off into nothingness now. All I remember him saying is make your bed. Make your bed. Okay. Whatever. So he goes on all the implications of doing that. The interesting thing about the thing about self, you know, the basic problem of most people, I'll say all people, the basic problem in life, and this has been kind of a philosophical issue, and it really boils down to just one thing. And I hate to simplify it too much, but really this is just it. People are selfish. And I don't care how generous you think you are. I don't care how big of a hero you think you are for, you know, laying on a grenade. That's a very unselfish act. You can be very unselfish in your acts in general. And some people have more unselfish and generous acts than others. But at the end of the day, people are selfish. And to some degree, there's an amount of self-preservation that you have to have, or you won't live long. Probably. I don't know. However, there's got to be a balance there. And but the whole thing, the whole, you know, man's basic problem, the whole thing from the fall, was that Adam and Eve were selfish, thinking of themselves. You know, there's self-centeredness, self-absorption, there's self-awareness. One of the few self things that's actually healthy to some degree. If you have a grip on life, you can be very self-aware, extremely transparent to yourself, honest with yourself, and still survive. Some people have no handles on life and no grip on who they are, and they become very self-aware and aware of the fact that they're very selfish and have a tendency to choose, you know, wrong things all the time. And they can't handle that, and they end up seeing no reason to go on. But there are reasons for going on. And I think Jordan Peterson is excellent at pointing this kind of thing out. What is the meaning of life? Well, meaning is what you give it. It's your Your life has to be productive in some manner. You have to make meaning of your life. It's kind of one of those things where life is, you know, what you make of it, sort of, in some sense. That's a generalization. That's not really what he's... He would probably have to pull out a three-hour-long talk to unpack all of that. But that's all the further I'm going with it. Otherwise, I'll fall asleep in the middle of this. So I've said all that to say this. The media knows that Hunter Biden is, you know, it will soon be a story in the past. And if it's not, if they cannot right this ship, if they cannot get the Biden administration poll numbers back, which they are dismally low. Now, in general, see, one little thing can come along and somebody will say, well, you know, and Joe will make a decision, or Joe doesn't make any decisions, by the way. Somebody in the administration will write a speech for Joe and he'll read it and think, you know, something will happen. Some kind of event is going to happen. Joe's going to step in and make a speech. And all of a sudden, his poll numbers will go up because of the speech. And they'll go right back down again. But they do nothing but talk about it, how high his poll numbers are for 2 months. Remember how high his poll numbers were 2 months ago? That's all it's going to be in the news. The left is in disarray right now. You have the extreme leftists who are not happy with Joe because he's not leftist enough. And then you've got the others who are kind of in control. They know that if they go too far, that the midterms are going to be a disaster. The closer we get to the midterms, the more I think that they... Of course, now, Joe, don't worry, because Joe's going to run again in 2024. He's confided in Obama that he's going to do that. I wonder how that leaked out. Was anybody around other than Obama when he told him that? I mean, who was in the room at that time when he told him that? If it was just him and Obama and he told him, then who leaked it? Obama was probably walking around after he told him that, after he pulled himself up off the floor from laughing so hard. He probably walked out the door and said, Joe just told me. Joe just told me he's going to run again in 2024. And then the whole room, of course, burst out in laughter. Joe's not going to make it to 2024, folks. I don't know how, you know, I've been saying this now. I know I've been saying it for over a year. I'm surprised he's made it into this year at all. I really am. I have to retract my statement that I made that he wouldn't make it to the end of the year last year. They've got a problem on their hands here. They're doing everything they can to keep this guy, you know, out of the actual light of day. Now they have Easter bunnies directing him around on stage, telling him which way to go. Gets done with the speech, turns around, looks around, acts like he's shaking people's hands. Doesn't know which direction to turn until somebody comes over and gets him. And it's absolutely it's pathetic anymore. It's just ridiculous. They've got to do something with this guy. And I know that they're in their war rooms. I've already talked about this. We'll get back to this. I'm just trying to circle back to all this stuff. It all ties together into what are they doing with, you know, how are they going to pull this off? And here's what really unnerves me about the whole thing. And they've even made some statements that lead me to believe they are up to some shenanigans again. And this one's going to be big. Now, they were making these accusations, saying that Trump was going to cancel the elections and he's going to go on to be the president forever, and he's not going to. And of course, this whole January 6th thing, all the insurrection stuff and all that crap. Now they're saying, well, we found text messages. You look at MSNBC, they're just absolutely pathetic with the stuff that they keep saying. Oh, well, we found it. We found text messages he's talked about this or that or whatever on January 6th. He's got a connection with the Proud Boys. Okay. They keep bringing this stuff up because the only other thing in the news to talk about is Hillary Clinton and her campaign and Hunter Biden, the real things that are going on, and the whole thing with the Russiagate thing. The two major big things that happened in these 50, 51, however many there were, intelligence agents, federal agents that wrote this letter, signed on to this letter that the whole Hunter Biden thing was a Russian, had all the earmarks of a Russian operation. They didn't say it was a Russian operation. They said it was all the earmarks. Well, yeah, if you're going to fabricate something, you're going to make it look like the Russians did it. Hillary has been good at that since she came up with the dossier. You have to make it look the Russians did it. She's involved with the Russians. That's the way this stuff works. Little known secret. Well, I'm not going to get into that. Here's the other thing that's happening. Here's the two things that bother me right now. One is there are Democrats now, and they know how to do this. They've been doing this for years. This is how they infiltrate things, and they go on to get control and power. They don't have to have that many people. They just have to have them in the right place. One of the things that they're going to do, and they've even talked about this already, is having Joe Manchin run as a Republican against Joe Biden in 2024, or whoever in 2024. They basically want to take over. I don't know if they think that Joe Manchin can win the Democrat or the Republican primary. They think he's going to win the Republican primary. Now, first of all, you've got Donald Trump there. And if he doesn't run, Ron DeSantis might run. I think it's a little early for Ron DeSantis. However, we need somebody like him, and I don't know anybody else like him other than him. There's no other governor really that has stepped up the way he has and had the common sense ability to just lead, regardless of what the media touts and screams and shouts about. I've not seen a leader like him in years. And it's his ability to communicate is far beyond what Trump's is. And I don't know, you know, it's, you know, one of the things that Trump has said is, it all depends on his health. He wants to make sure he's a healthy person by 2024 if he's going to run. And he's getting older. He can't make the case that he's older, but he's, you know, his opponent is, he was making all kinds of, you know, I don't know. He'll say one thing one day and something else the next, but it's, I think that he's had a very settling time, I think, in the last year or so. I think that he's recalculating, regrouping, and kind of understanding. Trevor Loudon kind of laid out how to fix this problem with the deep state. He did an excellent job of showing how that could actually happen and how it could work and how the deep state should be set up so that it doesn't continue to be corrupted. Now, having said all that, the concern is that they're going to put people in place. And here's another good example, Dr. Oz. He's always had left-leaning positions on everything in his show. And all of a sudden, he's a Republican. He's even got Donald Trump's endorsement. How does that happen? Just because he's running as a Republican? I don't know. I don't understand that at all. So we have this going on. And then this whole thing about Manchin. They're talking about Manchin coming in and running as a Republican. I don't even mention McConnell. I think Joe Manchin would be more comfortable on the Republican side. What's that going to change? Is he going to vote differently because he's on the Republican caucus? I don't know. Who cares if he's on one side or the other? We've got Romney. Well, Mitt Romney's a Republican. But, yeah, and he voted to impeach Trump. He votes with the Democrats on key issues, ridiculously, makes statements about other Republicans that are outlandish, makes statements about Tulsi Gabbard. She's suing him now, by the way. for making statements about treason, accusing her of treason. Something punishable by death, by the way. She's going back after him. It's mostly a token lawsuit, but it's still a lawsuit. That's ridiculous. Some of these things that these people are doing. Who cares which side you're on if you're not on the right, if your different label is right, but you're not the right, you don't represent what you say you represent. You're supposed to be representing the people, not yourself and what you think is right. They think that people elect them just because they like them and they want them to be powerful. No, that's not why we elect you, folks. We elect you to go to Congress and represent us to protect our rights as individuals. That's why you're there. You're not there because, we think you deserve to be in power. You deserve to have power over us. No, that's not at all what they're there for. But they seem to think that once they get there. And once the political machine is involved, you can't vote them out at all. They just stay there forever. So that's the one thing that they're doing. And that's probably the least of my worries. That's not really a worry, but it's the least of my concerns. The other big concern I have, and this is just a lingering thing that keeps going on, back of my mind, and I know they accused Donald Trump of this. They were absolutely wrong about it. But the reason they were accusing him, the things that they have accused Trump of are the things that they actually do. That's what bothers me. They're the ones that almost came up with this idea of doing something to stop the elections. Look what they did in 2020. The whole COVID thing. All of a sudden we can't have regular elections now. We have to have these drop boxes. We have to have all this stuff. We have to have mail-in ballots all over the place, even though they're illegal. We have to have all this stuff going on because COVID. This was the order of the day. And all of a sudden there's 81 million votes coming in for an individual who can't even draw a small crowd in a small room. Against a guy who got more votes than any other Republican candidate ever in the history of this country. And yet still lost. How does that happen? Tucker Carlson is onto something. I think he's been actually hinting again that the election was a sham. It's becoming very obvious. All this stuff that they've been telling us and everything that they've been saying is not just conspiracy theory, and paranoia on the part of the right. Those conservatives, all their paranoia and their conspiracy theories that they, they said it's a conspiracy theory one day, and the next day it's, this is fact if you don't believe this. If you believe the other thing, then you're a conspiracy theory. We have this crazy, crazy mindset that the end justifies the means with these people. And they are willing to, they think in their hearts that if they lose power, we've lost our democracy. If they get voted out, the democracy has failed. It's the whole purpose. It's like, if the people speak and they don't want you in there anymore, then we've lost our democracy. People have killed themselves, I guess. I don't know how else to put that. We've decided as a people that we no longer want to be a people that make decisions. Which is kind of the way we're going if people just default to making no decisions. Anyway, the whole thing is rather spooky, in my opinion, because of some of the statements that are being made by people like Nancy Pelosi and the Squad and some others. Now, Jen Psaki, she ummed her way through the whole process of she talks down to Peter now, and she's been caught like saying really derogatory things about Peter Ducey, and of course, every time he asks her a question, it's, well, what about this and what about that? He'll point out the facts. And then she just goes, well, not Peter. You can't do this. It's like an explanation from a teenager. who comes up with just this baloney. And you can tell it's a made-up story on the spot when he calls him out on, to accountability. And there's that right there is the word. There's no accountability for anyone in the FBI, the CIA, the DI, the whatever it is, all the other intelligence organizations. Look at Clapper, James Clapper, and Brennan. All these people who were, you know, Christopher Wray, Comey. All these individuals who were involved in this whole scam and signed off on these letters stating that, yes, the Hunter Biden story is it's just nothing but Russian propaganda. Has all the earmarks of Russian propaganda. Because that's the way it was designed. Of course it was. And they have plausible deniability. Oh, by the way, the laptop is real. Oh, yeah, we were wrong. I guess we were wrong about that. Shh. Okay. Next thing, Ukraine. Ukraine's going on. I'm pretty sure that they were willing to accept it just to try to give themselves some credibility because, well, the war was covering up the whole story. It was in the headlines every day, so nobody was paying attention to this Hunter Biden thing. They thought they could get under the radar with this, and they did for the most part. And if they just let it kind of linger out there long enough, people forget about it and think, well, it must not be much of a story because the DOJ is not doing anything about it. Well, the DOJ is not going to do anything about it. Of course, Psaki says, the DOJ does its own independent investigations. Joe Biden doesn't have anything to do with that. Well, of course, Joe Biden doesn't have to do anything. He doesn't make any decisions. He doesn't have to make any deals with anybody. It's the administration. There are people in the administration making those decisions. And those are the people, probably Barack Obama, telling everybody what to do. Actually, it's Valerie Jarrett, but we won't get into that. They're the ones that are talking to, you know, the former attorney generals and all the other people who are in their little cave telling Merrick Garland what to do. Telling you that guy is a very evil actor in this whole process. All of a sudden, the DOJ wants to go after the mask mandate. So let's talk about that a little bit now. We'll close with this mask mandate thing. The CDC extended its authority. It went beyond the day. I think April 19th was the longest it could go. That's the way I understand it. It was all the further it could go with its mask with the mandate thing. Under its authority, supposed authority. When they decided to extend it, they were going beyond their authority, supposed authority. And in the process of doing so, this judge ruled basically that they've exceeded their statutes, I guess, or whatever. And in the process, this judge dropped the mandate. So it's no longer mandates. It's just voluntary. And then you have somebody, I think it was Merrick Garland, who said these people are people who don't wear masks are basically terrorists. Now, think about that statement for a moment. How do we treat terrorists in this country? We put them on no-fly lists. We put them in Gitmo. We put them away with basically no trial whatsoever. With people from January 6th, over a year ago, by the way, who are in prison today with no trial. Are rotting away in prison for trespassing. And nobody's doing anything about it. It is an absolute atrocity. These are things that are protected in the Constitution, a quick and speedy trial, a jury of your peers. These are political prisoners, folks. They are grinding them down to mush. Don't think that you could stand and do any better than some of these people. One of them committed suicide. Several of them have lost their families. They're absolutely crushed. And this is what they're doing. This is how communist regimes, dictatorships do this kind of thing. It's absolutely atrocious. It goes against everything the founders. I guarantee you, if the founders were here today, they'd be letting you know, Joe, that yes, cannons can be purchased. Cannons could be purchased during the time that the Second Amendment was put in place. People purchased cannons, in fact, up until the 1900s. You could still purchase cannons. I think you can still build your own cannon. I think you can still purchase a cannon now, actually. Now, if you fire it, that's a whole other story. Yeah. So I'm concerned about the election process coming up here in the 2022 to midterms. I am pretty sure that if they could, they would. Let's put it that way. If they could do something to stop the elections, turn this thing around, and keep themselves in power, they will do it. They'll consider it a constitutional emergency. We have to protect the children. The children. I need to eat some more children. That's Nancy's. That's my imitation of Nancy. But that's what I'm concerned about mostly, this whole thing. And I think that so all this negative stuff I keep talking about, sorry. You don't like my negative stuff? Sorry. You don't have to listen to it. I understand. I'm not for one going to belittle someone who doesn't want to hear negative stuff. If you just want to hear positive stuff going on all the time, I get that. I understand it. It takes a certain amount of intestinal fortitude to be able to look at things that are dark and deep and aggravating and disheartening, infuriating. And in general, just negative. To be able to look at those things day in and day out and be able to have some sense of balance in the middle of that. I get it. There are some of us, look, maybe you're not tuned that way. And that's fine. I have no problem. I'm glad you're around, actually. I'm glad people who see the positive things or want to know. But I'm happy for you for that. We need that. I need that. I need those people around me. Give me some balance. But I think that there also needs to be people who can stare in the face of this crap, call it what it is, day in and day out, and not be affected by it. It does affect me, but not, I don't have an ulcer about it. And the reason, there's a reason why both of those kinds of people can live the lives they do. One can ignore the bad things and only see the positive or want to see the positive. The other can kind of ignore the positive stuff that's going on and really dig deep into the negative stuff. It's because there's an underlying hope that faith rests on and is able to call this stuff out and not be afraid of it. There's a belief, there's a faith, there's a hope in a power much greater than I that I know at the end of the day will win, has won, is winning. And if we align ourselves properly with the truth, the reality, we have sure footing in the end. And we're not going to be tossed to and fro. We stand on solid ground. And we want others to stand there with us. Not on this flaky, unsettled, wishy-washy, to and fro with every wind of doctrine, theology, philosophy. So I digress a little bit back to just say, it's good to be back. There will be a show possibly later today. I don't know. I've got a lot to cover today. It is raining here. I've got a lot to do outside. I don't think I'm going to get around to some of that. So I may have a show this afternoon. I do have some other things to cover this afternoon, but I also want to have a show tomorrow morning. So I'm going to be planned a little bit more tomorrow morning because I'm not sure how the show is going. I got to travel again, believe it or not, over the weekend. I think that Monday there may not be a show, actually. Tuesday there probably will be, possibly. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. The evenings are most likely to be the shows next week, late evenings. So be looking for the shows in the evenings. Or I might do the shows in the evenings and post them in the mornings. I'm not exactly sure. I tend to get better listenership if I post in the mornings. So I may just start doing my shows whenever. I might just start posting them in the mornings, regardless of when I do them. I will see how that goes. That's my theory. I'm sticking with it. So, as it was, as it is, as it will be, this is the news, according to me. That might be a new slogan. I might put that on a t-shirt. As it was, as it is, as it will be, this is the news, according to me. That might be something. We'll think about it. I don't know. That might be the official uniform of the news, according to me now. I don't know. We'll see. That's how it goes. In the meantime, folks, pray for our nation. Pray for each other. Keep your head up. Believe for better things. God is still on the throne. He is in control of his kingdom. And his kingdom will reign and rule forever. So be a part of it today. Yeah. Thanks for listening, everybody. God bless. Have a great rest of your week and rest of your weekend. Take care. Steven Crowder does at the beginning of his show. I'm doing it at the end, just so I can be different.